Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E, if you would like to be a part of the show. Now is an awesome, excellent, dare I say, perfect time to do so. You can use that number. You can call the show. You can get on the air, 844-326-3663. You can text that number, and I'll read them on the air, like Keith in TR, who texted and said, South Carolina will continue to fall behind as long as Beamer is there. South Carolina staff is filled with guys who will work for a mediocre first-time coach for decent pay, guys, end quote. Some strong feelings there from Keith NTR. Appreciate that text. Joey texted the show. Said Chuba is in the first year of his new four-year deal. Dowdle is a free agent at the end of this season. Conversations that the New England Patriots had made a call to get Chuba Hubbard out of Carolina, bring him up to Foxborough, Massachusetts. And I get that. I really do. I get that. I understand that. I would also say, if you send him to New England, they're likely taking the full contract, which means that money goes back in the pot. And granted, it's been, what, 5 games now, but are we saying that Rico hasn't earned a little extra scratch? My man put up a $130 and 2 tutties in a shock win yesterday. I would say you figure it out. Texter said, also, Rob, in breaking news, the Commanders are ass again. Yeah, I'm going to need to know. I'm going to need somebody to explain to me why Hawaii you're running Jaden Daniels, who it's his first game back after his second significant injury of the season. Why are we running Jaden Daniels into the teeth of a defense that has been whooping said ass for 3.5 quarters? Why are we running Jaden Daniels into the teeth of that defense down 31 points? Like, what are we doing? Jaden Daniels, a dislocated left elbow, if you saw it, it was bad. He is out for, I'm going to call it a buck. Like, even if he could come back this season, I wouldn't bring him back this season. There's no benefit. You're not doing anything. You're not winning this division. Everything's gone wrong. You might as well just let him have a full remainder of the season, full off season, to get healthy, get right, and be the guy. Because I'm also going to say, if Jaden Daniels ain't the guy, the Commanders are getting set back a few years. So that's going to be a tough spot. Texter said, Rob Brown, the breaker downer of dikes and dams. Yeah, I mean, you're going to learn a little something. And so am I. I'm learning with you here on the show. You're welcome. Texter said, the other thought is Graham showed himself to keep Dabo from going off on the refs. I mean, maybe so. It felt a little bigger than that. I acknowledge that my belief on the reason that Graham Neff was in And John Blau said, it is not uncommon to see Graham Neff in the facility around the presser. He said it is very unusual to see him in the presser and certainly to see him in a prominent place. Like maybe he peeks his head in the back door or something, but it's rare to see him prominently in the press conference. Again, I'm not saying that was a warning to Dabo Swinney. I think it was very much more in line with a heads up, eyeballs are on the program, dude.
He seemed to take it as that because he pointed out that he was in the room.
That's true.
I mean, so obviously he's acknowledging, okay, I get it.
And I do wonder, is there some level here? And this is what I think. I don't know that we will ever know this unless somebody, you know, comes out with a book or something in the next few years. But I do wonder if there will be some level of Graham says changes need to be made, and Dabo stands on his business of, yeah, I'm not changing anything. If you want it changed, you can fire me. Because as Joey B said, firing Dabo Swinney is one of the few things Clemson could do that would turn off a large portion of the boosters, of the revenue coming in. So does Dabo Swinney utilize that, leverage that, and say, hey, look, you can fire me. I'm not changing anything. And you can fire me because of it. But just know that if you fire me, a lot of people are going to turn their backs on you for doing so. And if you're Clemson, do you roll the dice? Because I would also say, if you did and you moved on and the next coach comes in and the next coach is killing the game and they suddenly start winning and are competing again, I would imagine to some degree that there'd be a lot of people at that point who go, okay, we're actually good with this. Again, how many folks in football, like it's a fickle mistress, as the expression goes. How many times have we seen somebody let go, cut, release, traded, whatever, that is beloved by a team, and then the next guy comes in and they are just good. They're just good, and you start winning. It's amazing how fast people can move on from something that was good when they are given something else that is also good, or dare I say better. But again, that requires Clemson to get the next hiring right. All right. We've talked a lot of college football on the show today. If you want to circle back around to that, you are welcome to on the phone lines, 844-326-3663, or the text line. You can also, if you missed the first 3 hours where we talked at length about the Duke loss for Clemson, the reaction immediately after, and yesterday, Mike Shula fired as the offensive coordinator for South Carolina. Listen, I don't root for people to lose their jobs. But man, if you're not good at your job, and it is a job that a lot of people rely on you to be good at, you're going to lose your job. And I just think that's the point that we were at with Mike Shula. So we'll talk about that. But I want to get into the National Football League here for just a few minutes before we get into the World Series, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Championship. Kyle Larson grabs that trophy yesterday. We will talk about that. But let's take a look at some of the biggest stories in the National Football League. First and foremost, as we mentioned earlier in the show, Miami has relieved their general manager, Chris Greer, of his duties. He has been at the helm for the Dolphins for 9 seasons. He is the reason that Mike McDaniel is there, the reason Tua Tagovailoa is there. It was also the reason that the Dolphins, in the last 2 years, were one of the best 2 or 3 offenses in the National Football League. But also means he is part of the reason, if not the reason, the Dolphins are not that this year now at 2-7. I'm unshocked by this. And I'm unshocked because, as we have mentioned a few times, this Miami team is cheeks right now, as the expression goes. But what I would also say about this situation is this. We have been on Mike McDaniel's case all year long. And a big chunk of that is because Mike McDaniel has not presented himself well. We talked about the fact that when the Dolphins were good, McDaniel was a fun coach to watch. He was energetic. He was a nerd. He had the funny glasses. He had the stylish glasses, pardon me. He had the trendy shoes. He had the joggers and the hoodie oversized on top of it. My man was using his play sheet to cover up himself, hitting a vape pen on the sideline. Like, he's just a big nerd. And he presented himself that way. Great sideline interviews. Always really funny with the sprint to the locker room, whatever. And this year, the Dolphins aren't good. And Mike McDaniel has been exactly the opposite. Mike McDaniel has been so, I'll use the word uncomfortable in the presentation of himself, that there have been legitimate news stories asking, is Mike McDaniel on drugs? That might be what's causing this.
He does appear to be stoned in some way.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know,
I'm going to say with no level of certainty, if he's on something, it ain't weed. It's something else. Now, in fairness, as we have mentioned, I do think there is...
Okay, people with the people you were around who are on weed and the people I grew up with who were always stoned, they sound like this guy. So, I mean, maybe it's a different grade of that particular substance.
Yeah, I mean, strains progress.
In Florida,
you know?
And Ohio, maybe, but...
I think that the other part of this is, and there is some degree of this, we talked about when that clip came out, the presentation. If you actually go listen to that entire answer... It actually makes sense in context.
Yeah, but he's progressively gotten worse since
then. I agree with that, too. So, Chris Greer is out as the GM of the Dolphins, and it comes after the Dolphins lose 28-6. Tua Tagovailoa, 25 of 40, 261, no touchdowns, one pick. They allowed Derrick Henry another 100-yard game, 19 totes, 119 yards. The argument was made to me by a Dolphins fan yesterday after this news broke when I texted to do a welfare check on my friend. I said, you good, bud? And he said, you know, I was thinking about this a lot, and he made me do the same thing. He said, really thinking about this a lot? Go look at the roster of the Dolphins right now, and like genuinely tell me that it's an AFC East competing roster. He said, I think what's happened is, and this happens to a lot of coaches, the coach is really good, and they end up with a mediocre roster assembled under them, and they coach it to pretty good. Then the expectations become pretty good, but the roster doesn't get better. And he said Chris Greer has been notorious for not making rosters better over the years. He just trades guys for like equivalent guys. He drafts guys that just never are the guy. He said, do you think Mike McDaniel has the same results if he has Jordan Love? If he has effectively not Tua Tagovailoa? He said, and really think about this, with no Tyreek, Jaylen Waddle is like a number two wide receiver on most teams, but he's our number one right now. He said, do you really think that if Mike McDaniel had the skill position players of, hell, not even the best teams in the league, do you think if he had the Rams skill position players behind Matt four touchdowns against my Saints yesterday, Stafford, we'd have the same record? He said, I'm not saying we'd be an AFC favorite, but you think we'd be 2-7? And I was like, honestly, dude, you might have a point here. You might have a point. This might not be on Mike. This might be on Chris Greer. And the fact that they fired Chris Greer, but not Mike McDaniel, might be an indicator that Miami actually feels that way. Most surprising scoreline yesterday. Was it 27-24 Vikings over the Lions? I feel like maybe it was.
Well, if you looked at, don't want to say obviously. I did not watch that game. I've seen the highlights, and JJ looked good.
JJ looked good. 14 of 25, 143, two touchdowns, one pick. QB rating of 82. It's not bad. Here's the thing.
I mean, compared to what we think he is, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I think 14 of 25, 143, 2-1 is kind of like, I guess probably about what I think JJ McCarthy is. I think the interesting part is on a day where he went 14 of 25, 143, 2-1, Jared Goff went 25 of 37, 284, two touchdowns, and a QB rating of 108, and he lost to J.J. McCarthy. Do you know why? 11 carries, 40 yards.
Minnesota scored more points.
Yes, that is the reason why. Thank you, Ghost of John Madden. Excellent work. David Montgomery, 11 carries, 40 yards, one touchdown. Jahmyr Gibbs, 9 carries, 25 yards, no touchdowns. The longest runs for Montgomery and Gibbs were 11-7. Detroit suddenly couldn't run the ball. Sam Laporta, 6 grabs, 97 and a touch. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 9 for 97. Jameson Williams, 4 for 66 and a touch. For a team that is meant to be rough and tumble, for a team that is meant to be physical, for a team that is meant to be violent, The fact that the Lions couldn't run the ball on the Vikings is very concerning for Detroit to me. Like, I get it. The even with J.J. McCarthy, I still think Kevin O'Connell's a very good head coach. I still think that offense is going to put up a bunch of points behind J.J. McCarthy. But for the defense to effectively remove Detroit's run game, I am now sincerely less convinced that Detroit is A, forget the NFC front runner for the Super Bowl right now. This team is 5-3. And again, they'll win next week because that's what the Lions do. They just don't lose back-to-back games. So they've got the Commanders on the road, no Jaden Daniels. They'll win next week. But the complete inability to run the football against Minnesota, who's got a good run defense, but it ain't the best in the game. For them to drop that game and now have alternating wins and losses dating all the way back to that game against the Bengals 5 weeks ago, I'm not inspired by Detroit. Like, this team suddenly looks like a team that I'm not really convinced of, which is dramatically different than I thought that was going to be the case before the season started. Michael Penix Jr. had a decent day. 22 of 37, 221, three touchdown passes in this game, but the Falcons fall on the road to the Patriots. 23-24, the Pats win at the crib. Atlanta, at one point in this game, found themselves in a tough spot. They were down 21-7 in the second quarter, but they got a touchdown to bring it to within 7 in the closing few minutes. A touchdown pass from Michael Penix to Drake London. They were down 7. They held New England to a field goal on their next drive in the second half. They would get a pick from Drake May. Atlanta would score a field goal, make it 17-24. Atlanta would get a touchdown in the fourth quarter to get within 1 because the touchdown was followed up by a missed PAT. Now they're down 1. They did get one more possession, but they couldn't do anything with it. 6 plays, 23 yards, a buck 37 to end in the turnover on downs. They lose by a point. Frustrating because that game could have gone to overtime. The question mark is, do we put this more on the New England Patriots are, by the way, at 7-2 and now tied for the best record in football? Are the Patriots good or are the Falcons not? Or do you go, hey, that's a really good performance by Atlanta, a really good performance from Michael Penix Jr., They just don't have a kicker, because that's been a historically problematic thing for Atlanta the last couple of years. I genuinely don't know what to do with Atlanta after this. New England gutted it out, got the win, but the missed XP kind of was the game here. So I don't know what to make of that team. Steelers get the better of the Colts, 27-20. Danny Dimes, 342 and a touchdown. Didn't matter. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers? I had no thought the Steelers were winning this game. Aaron Rodgers, 25 of 35, 203, one touchdown. The Steelers had, and this is why the game's mind-numbing to me, the Steelers had 38 rushing yards and 203 passing yards.
I think Daniel Dimes threw 3 interceptions.
He sure did. He sure did. 3 picks. I mean, the turnover battle lost.
They were down
do
quite a bit until, I think, the fourth quarter when they came back.
That's a shock. That might be the shocking. I was going to say it was Viking-Lions, but that might be the most shocking result. Broncos get by the Texans. CJ Stroud knocked out with a concussion. Jags need everything in their power to get an OT road win over the Raiders, now 5-3. Bills get the better of the Chiefs. No shortage of controversy in that game. Seahawks 38-14 winners over the Commanders. That game wasn't anywhere close. 24 points in the second quarter. Sam Darnold threw 4 touchdowns all in the first half. That ball game was over at that point. But the story, Jaden Daniels down 31 being run as a quarterback in the fourth quarter, dislocates his elbow. He's done for the year. When we come back, let's talk World Series. LA Dodgers get it done, back to back champs. We'll talk about that. And damn, how good was that World Series? That's next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over a million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve. I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The World Series was... I do my best not to have a reaction like this so immediately after a season is over. I try to give it some time. That's how you gain perspective. You take time. You allow the recency bias to wear off. You allow your time to kind of think, you allow yourself the time to think through stuff before I make knee-jerk reactions. That's how I handle it. But I could not help. But Saturday night, at the conclusion of Game 7, an 11-inning, I mean, clenched up tight enough to turn coal into diamonds type Game 7. Any series that goes to Game 7 is an electric series. That was an electric Game 7. I could not help myself but think and say out loud, was that the best World Series of all time? We had Toronto get Game 1, a Toronto team that entered the World Series as an underdog, a Toronto team that was, hey, good run, but you're up against a juggernaut. You're up against a Dodgers team that's found itself. They win game, they blow out Game 1. Like, okay. But then we turned around and really thought about that. Again, time equals perspective. And we started having some stats thrown at us, which is the fact that the last 7 times that one team swept their championship series, their league championship series, no matter what the other team did, as long as it wasn't a sweep for them too, the last 7 times that a team swept the championship series, they lost Game 1. You went, okay. Then the Dodgers came back and they won Game 2 on the road. Then we go back to L.A. The Dodgers get a win. Dodgers get 2 win. We're tied up. Now we're going to Game 5. Toronto gets Game 5. I was like, all right, you kept yourself from, you created a world where you get to go back to Toronto. You need 1 out of 2. Then the Dodgers win 2 in Toronto to win the championship on Saturday night. And it was, again, it was a stellar game. It was an incredible season. It was an incredible World Series. And so I the knee-jerk reaction was, that might have been the greatest World Series I've ever watched. And so I was actually watching in a Discord with like 4 or 5 buddies of mine, baseball guys. We all got together in a Discord voice chat and we're watching the game together. And we started talking about some of the greatest World Series that we've ever seen. And some of them were well before my time. CBS Sports actually ranked the best World Series of all time. And they, for instance, put up the 1924 World Series. Extra innings in Game 1 and Game 7, had 4 one-run games. This may shock you. I was not born in 1924. I don't recall that series.
Hey, neither was I. That's even more shocking.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. 1960 series. The Yankees outscored the Pirates 55-27 and lost the World Series on a walk-off home run to Bill Mazeroski in Game 7. The 1991 was around for this one. I was a whopping 6 years old, but I remember it greatly. The 1991 World Series, that was Braves-Twins. That was the Game 7 where the Twins beat the Braves 4-3. That was the Game 7 that had that absolute duel between Jack Morris and John Smoltz. The 01 World Series, Diamondbacks, Yankees. There were 70,000 clutch hits by the Yankees, but the Diamondbacks got a Game 7 walk-off. 1975, Carlton Fisk, the foul pole home run in Game 6. The Reds win in Game 7 by 1 with a Joe Morgan RBI single in the top of the ninth. The 2011 series was great, though Game 7 was a dud. Game 6 got him there. 86, the Red Sox still fighting the curse. The Mets, one of the more colorful teams of all time. 2 games decided by 1 run. There was that Game 6 thing before Game 7 gave the Mets their second title. I got to tell you, I genuinely thought about it, and I think this year's World Series might be the greatest of all time. The one argument I heard was the Cubs in 2016 when they broke the curse of the Billy Goat, because you had an all-timer in Game 7 in that one too. But I still think I had more fun with this one. Game 1, the Blue Jays had the biggest World Series inning in decades. Yamamoto goes complete game in Game 2, first game in the World Series, first complete game in the World Series dating back to 2015. First pitcher in more than 20 years to go back-to-back complete games in the playoffs. One of the only 2 complete games in the 2025 postseason. Game 3 was beyond incredible. You had 10 innings of incredible baseball. Then we went all the way to 18, tied for the longest ever. It ended in a walk-off home run from Freddie Freeman, the second of his career. Shohei Ohtani got on base 9 times in 1 game. Shohei, 9 times in 1 game. Went 4-for-4 with 2 doubles and 2 dongs, and then never swung again. 4 intentional walks, and then a walk on 4 pitches in his 5th at bat. Treya Savage, 12 strikeouts in Game 5. That was a game where the Blue Jays became the first team ever to start a World Series game with back-to-back jacks. Game 6, one of the craziest bottom of the ninth innings of all time. The Jays had the tying run on second with no outs. 3 pitches later, that runner gets doubled off second to end the game. This series was electrifying. And I will go with a statement that I made in that Discord chat on Saturday night that raised a bit of contention amongst a couple of Rob Brown friends. The statement was, the Dodgers are an elite team, but I genuinely submit for your consideration that the better overall team did not win the World Series. From start to finish, opening pitch of Game 1 to final out of Game 7, I think Toronto was a better baseball team. I think Toronto was a better baseball team overall. I think there were some games where, outside of getting on base 9 times, Shohei Ohtani was made to look like a regular baseball player. I mean, if you think about the rosters, the coaching, whatever, I think overall, the Blue Jays were a better baseball team. That being said, the Blue Jays were not a more clutch baseball team. The Dodgers, specifically in Game 6 and 7. Toronto was the better team for 8 innings, and the Dodgers just clinched up when it mattered. The Dodgers had ice water in the vein when it mattered. And I think it it cost Toronto the World Series. But there is one more thing that I wanted to talk about, and that is Dave Roberts, the manager for the LA Dodgers. Because I think Dave Roberts was the reason the Dodgers are back-to-back World Series champions. There were two or three moves made by Dave Roberts down the stretch that I think were probably not talked about enough, but the most impactful decisions made in the postseason by anyone. The first was in Game 6. In Game 6, Dave Roberts recognized, hey, if we lose this game, there is no Game 7. It doesn't matter. And Dave Roberts went ahead and took his Game 7 starter, Tyler Glasnow, and put him on the bump in the ninth against Toronto. Said, look, this, depending on how deep you got to go, because you're on four-day rest, which in the regular season, we would give you a start, but it would be a short outing, right? If you're a pitcher coming off 4 days rest in the regular season, you're going, but we're trying to pitch count you at 80 pitches. We're trying to get you through four or five innings. Then we'll move on. If we don't win this game, there is no Game 7. So we're going to throw you out there, and we're going to hope we can win this thing without it going to extra innings and without it going four or five and basically burning your start and making us turn to Shohei Ohtani in Game 7 as a dude that we need seven or eight innings out of. Because if we can get you in and out of there in three, four, five pitches, you're available tomorrow in a relief role. Well, he did just that. Got the double off, changed the whole game, sent him to Game 7. That was masterclass. But then there was a move in Game 7. The move was to take Tommy Edman out of the outfield and put Andy Páez in. Now, Páez, who was the starter most of the season, got benched because the bat for Andy Páez had gone cold. And so they flipped to Tommy Edman, and Edman had been very good. So he takes Edman out. He puts Páez in. The Blue Jays have the bases loaded with one out. They get a force out at home in what is one of the closest plays I've ever seen. And we'll talk about that because as much as I think that Dave Roberts was a wizard in this series, I also think John Schneider made a couple of big mistakes down the stretch. So, switching out Edman for Páez, because you wanted a little more speed in the outfield, and more importantly, you wanted a big arm out there to give yourself a chance to keep the Blue Jays from getting a walk-off. You get to the second out, deep fly ball to left field. Kike Hernandez is out there. Andy Páez is out there in center. They are racing to the ball, and me and the boys on the chat are like, ball game, World Series Blue Jays. Andy Páez gets on his horse and he catches that ball for the third out. I am telling you, if Tommy Edman was still out there and in that game, because you wanted to keep the better bat in the lineup if you make it to extra innings. If Tommy Edman's still out there in center field, that ball is hitting the turf and the Jays are World Series champions today. But because he made the substitution to Páez at the exact right time, he had a speedster in center who was dramatically faster than Tommy Edman, who was able to turn on the turbo, pull the right trigger, sprint out to center field, and make a catch that saved the Dodgers season and saved Game 7. The Dodgers would go on to win it. There was also another spot, and it was pointed out by both Madcraft and Jim in the chat. Jim said Yoshi going on 0 days rest was a bold strategy. Madcraft said, testicles of adamantium from Roberts right there. He had faith in Ohtani and Yamamoto and Snell. Also that is correct. There's a lot of guys that I do not know would have loved the concept of running those guys out on 0 or 3 days rest. But he trusted the boys. He said, we think you've got the stuff to get this done, and the boys got it done. The LA Dodgers did not win this series because they were a better baseball team. The LA Dodgers won this series because Dave Roberts was a better manager than John Schneider. And I'll give you one more reason that I believe that to be true. On that bases loaded force out at home that would have ended the game and won the World Series, the Blue Jays had their runner on third. Now keep in mind, Bases juiced, one out, meaning that the third baseman cannot hold the runner at third. He has to play third base. And they've got Keenan Falefa on third base. He takes about a 12-inch lead. He is not leading off. There's nobody holding you. You should be taking a lead that has you damn near home. If that man takes a lead that is one step further, the Blue Jays are World Series champions today. He takes a foot lead off the bag with nobody holding him there, and he gets thrown out at home by, 3 inches. If he takes one more step of a lead, certainly if he takes a 4, 5, 6 foot lead as he should have, the Jays are world champs. And what I don't understand is how John Schneider is not on the field screaming, take a bigger lead. No one is holding you at third. Take a bigger lead. If the third baseman comes over for the pickoff, we will yell at you. Take a bigger lead. But he didn't do that. I think it was some minor mistakes from Schneider and a masterclass of management from Dave Roberts that are the reason the Dodgers went from Tokyo to Toronto and claimed the back-to-backer. When we come back, quick thoughts on the NASCAR championship. Kyle Larson is your 2025 champ. We'll get to what the X is going on and your thoughts on the way out the door. The Rob Brown Show is on the radio. It is the Fan Upstate.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The 2025 NASCAR Cup Series Championship belongs to Kyle Larson. It is his second Sprint Cup Championship since he joined Hendrick Motorsports, second overall. Was able to outpace Denny Hamlin, who was the second place finisher in the championship run. Ryan Blaney was your race winner at Phoenix yesterday. You know, there's this weird spot that we are in right now. Because I said a few weeks ago, and by we, I mean NASCAR fans, a couple of weeks ago, courtesy of one Dale Earnhardt Jr., we were having this conversation about a problem that NASCAR has, that I agree that NASCAR has. The problem being that NASCAR has created this world where, because they did not want to have final races of the season, that didn't mean anything. And there were a number of years where the final race of the season, there was no drama because the championship had already been decided. The championship-winning driver entered the final race of the season having already won. There was mathematically no way for anyone else to overtake him in the final race of the season. And so Dale Earnhardt Jr. said, he wasn't endorsing it, but he said, if you want to do away with that, the way to handle it is to go back to the old format where you either had the chase for the cup or you had the entire season was the playoffs. You got your points throughout the course of the season, and at the end of the year, whoever finished with the most points was your NASCAR Cup Series champion. And I said, I actually agree with Dale. And I want to be clear, I still agree with Dale today. I think we go back to the old format where every race was worth a certain amount of points, and at the end of the year, whoever had the most points was your Cup Series champion. Because what I don't like is when we have a race in June that effectively becomes irrelevant. And it's not that it's irrelevant because any driver can win that race and punch their ticket. Or any driver can use that race to get enough points to be an at-large driver who gets in after all of the race winners over the course of the year. But what I also don't love is when we get to the final race and there are only four guys who can win it. Because while it should be absolute electricity with four guys gunning for the checkered flag and a chance to win the NASCAR Series champion, season championship, what I don't love is that those other four guys can absolutely have their day ended by any of the other 26 guys on the course who can't win a championship that day. And that in and of itself, because NASCAR is such a chaotic sport, that in and of itself isn't the bad part of it. To me, the bad part of it is that 26 other guys can do this, and the spot you find yourself sitting in is a guy who had a killer season loses his shot because guy pops him in the back, pops a tire, and now he's out of the race. William Byron. Or another spot. And granted, this is part of racing, but Denny Hamlin, who has not won a season championship yet and was five or six spots ahead of Kyle Larson, was going to, if not outright win the race, win the championship. But William Byron has a tire go down. He hits the wall. Caution comes out. We've got to go to overtime. Because Denny Hamlin was out there with the perfect strategy to finish the 500 miles, not the perfect strategy to have to run two more laps. He had the perfect strategy to finish the race as it was drawn up. He did not have the perfect strategy to finish the race if it went to overtime. And that is, again, with the system we have in place, that is absolutely a risk that you take. But Byron draws out the yellow flag. We go to overtime. Because his tires were bald at that point, Denny Hamlin has to take four tires. Kyle Larson only needs two. Larson goes to fifth. Hamlin drops to 10th. Now there's two laps for Denny Hamlin to have to make up five spots with three cars between him and the guy in fifth that he then also has to pass. Two laps on that shorter track, not enough time to make that happen. He loses the championship on the way out the door. I think we should go back to the full season championship playoffs. From the Daytona 500 till the last race at Phoenix or Homestead, Miami, or wherever it's going to be, every race should matter as much as every other race, and right now I don't feel like they do. However, that was a damn entertaining finish to the race. It really was. If the overtime doesn't come out, Denny Hamlin is winning that race comfortably or winning the championship comfortably at that point. The caution made it interesting, made it compelling because you go, okay, two laps for one of the best drivers of our day, Denny Hamlin, to make up five spots. to catch Kyle Larson and pass him. He's got two laps to do it on a track that, and this is why I do love Phoenix, on a track that probably lets you be the most creative you can be on any track on the circuit. Remember, it's got the banks in, what, 2, 3, and 4. But you can go race down on the inside, down on the flat if you want. It is the most creative racetrack in the game, which is why I like that it is the last race of the year. But two laps isn't enough to make that happen. As soon as Denny Hamlin and his crew chief, who made a call to run it for the number of laps required, 319. They made a plan to run 319 laps to win the race or win the championship. And it was the perfect plan. But because somebody outside of the race, well, William Byron was not, but because of a number of spots outside of the race, the caution comes out, and Denny Hamlin, who was the best racer of the day, led 208 laps of 319. Best racer of the day, because he planned for 319 and not 321, loses the championship at that spot. That's not ideal. So it was a very compelling finish to the race, and I also don't love the way that the championship was decided. I think we still ought to, even after how good that was. Even if we risk a world in which NASCAR's final race of the season is its least watched because of the fact that it was compelling. There were four guys who could win it. Even if we enter the final race of the year at Phoenix or Homestead, Miami, or wherever, with the championship already decided, I still think we should go back to the old system, because I do not think that the best racer was able to win a championship yesterday. Mike said, good morning, guys. Easy solution for NASCAR. Two races on the final day. Championship race, top 10, and whoever won a race during the season. Second race, everybody else. And the second race, everybody else, nobody cares about. That's what they were trying to prevent in the first place. Will said, I also think they need to do away with the win and you're in rule to get into the playoffs. You should be top 16 in points. I agree with that, Will. Just do a thing where if you win, you get the biggest amount of points. If you win, you get 50 points, which pretty much locks you in. But if you have 10 or 12 other races where you suck and another guy gets a bunch of top 10s, he can take your spot. I agree with that. But let's just do the whole season long and make every race feel that way.
All right, time for me to tell Rob what is X-ing, what is trending in the world today, and he will let us know why. The first thing that is X-ing is Will Muschamp.
Oh, because Will Muschamp is going to be the new offensive coordinator at South Carolina.
No, here's the thing. People are angry and comparing Beamer's tenure to Will Muschamp's.
Yeah, we're not there yet, are we? Are we there?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think we're there either.
Well, some people do, though. Enough to make a trend.
I don't think we're there yet. I think the hiring of Mike Shula was a bad one at the time. I think Shane probably waited too long to make the decision to move on from Mike Shula. I think it should have come 3 or 4 weeks ago. I also know that, like I said, the heat in the kitchen for Shane Beamer now is going to be, you are not willing to make the tough decisions for your guys when the tough decisions need to be made. Now the question is, what does the rest of this year, and we'll talk about this tomorrow, what does the rest of this year look like under the guys who will be running the offense for South Carolina, and what does it look like for Shane Beamer? Is he going to be able to make the tough decisions that need to be made now after pulling the trigger on Mike Shula? I'm not ready to say we're in Muschamp territory because I have some level of faith Shane Beamer can succeed.
The next dance X-ing is Jey Uso.
Jey Uso X-ing because his match with CM Punk at Saturday night's main event, which I did watch, was bad. It was a bad match. It was just a bad match.
It was bad.
It was all of the things that I have been saying. I love Jey. I love that a Pensacola guy is in the house. I love that somebody from my neck of the woods was champ. I love the character, the attitude, and all that. Jey Uso is not a good singles wrestler. And if you can't make 47-year-old CM Punk, if you make that guy have to carry you for that entire match as he did, I got to tell you, I'm sorry. Like, I felt bad because he put up an Instagram story, which was a picture of him sat down on the ground with Punk holding the belt up, and it said, you win, middle finger emoji. It's like, buddy, they're not coming after you because they don't like you. We all want to like you. I like yeeting all over a building as much as you do. you're just not, you weren't there. That's a match that should have been one that you spent weeks preparing and getting ready to put on the match of your life, and you very clear, you can't take a neck breaker?
The speculation on X, and the reason why it's Xing, that he may have been imbibing, and that's the reason why. And there are comparisons between him and Jeff Hardy.
If that is the case, with TKO in charge, I'm not going to say that that's the end of Jay's career. I will say, after everything that happened with Jeff Hardy back in the day, it'll be the end of main event Jey Uso. He will go back. You will either be in a tag team with your brother, or you will be a low card, come out, let the kids yeet, have some fun, take your L and go away for a couple of weeks kind of guy.
All right, mixed feelings about this next one for me. Joey Bosa is Xing.
I don't know why Joey Bosa is Xing.
Because he was all over Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, just because he was kicking ass.
Yeah, he was. Okay. He was a one-man army that they couldn't seem to contain except for like one play.
Yeah.
And they had to trick him. And that's the only way they were able to contain him.
Yeah, Bills win over the Chiefs yesterday, which again, we talked about this. Like, no surprise, the Bills always win in the regular season over the right. Chiefs. That's not the one that matters. What I will say is this. I think you got a great game. A lot of contention about some hits on both quarterbacks that may or may not have been late.
Well, when a certain referee was going to be there, you knew it was going to be rough and that Mahomes going to take a beating, and he did.
Bill, son of a Vinovich.
And no, it wasn't him.
No, that's just the only one I get mad at.
Yeah, it's Chad Chavers or whatever. Anyway, so that's the reason why he's Xing. The next thing that's Xing is Chelsea Green.
Chelsea Green! Let me tell you something. Chelsea Green is Xing because she just should be Xing all day, every day.
There's a major reason
she's
why.
She's the best.
She's Xing.
Yes, there is a major reason, which is that after the show on Wednesday, Chelsea Green will be joining Lonzo and I for an after-show discussion, which we will play for you coming up on Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, we are all Patriots. The legendary, the iconic Chelsea Green going to join Zoe and I on Wednesday.
Not only is she going to join us, but I'm sure she'll be sporting her brand new belt that she won with Ethan Page, the new AAA mixed tag team champ.
Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to say this. The Rob Brown Show bump is in play the second you sign up for the show.
Wow.
We're claiming credit. Chelsea Green's got a new strap, and it's because of the preemptive Rob Brown Show bump. Now, if she doesn't show up on Wednesday, she will lose the belt next time out. Book that. The Rob Brown Show anti-bump
She's
is real,
be
too.
Here. Don't put that on her.
No, I'm not. She's
going to
be
Don't put that on us.
I
am really looking forward to this.
I think, I'm not even kidding.
I didn't think you would throw that out there. I was just like,
I can't help it. I'm too excited. Okay. I've told everybody I know, so it's like not really a secret. I am also going to tell you right now, I may or may not have gone out and found myself a pair of black aviators to rock the entirely black suit on the show when she joins us on Wednesday.
Come on.
I want to be in the Secret Service. Okay. I don't know if I'm allowed to be, but I'm going to petition Chelsea Green, America's favorite Canadian, to allow me to join the Secret Service. Hey, that's it. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, it's your own fault. You got bad taste in radio. Come back tomorrow as we do Monday on a Tuesday because there's still a lot we haven't gotten to, even after 4 hours of greatness on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.